Good evening and welcome to the January 27th, 2010 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. Roll call, please.
President
Dahl. Here.
Dean.
Here.
I'm sorry. Director Hill.
Here.
Director Luthy.
Here.
Okay, if you'd all please stand and join me in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. This takes us to public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any subject not on the agenda. Does anybody care to talk at this time?
My name is Carol Henson, and I just would like to speak to the board members and the general manager. I just want to get up and thank our new general manager for all of the changes and the improvements that have been happening in our district office. And I experienced that firsthand the other morning when I was trying to taken care of. I think that what's the best part of it is that that when someone, now that they're cross-training in the office, that when someone has to be absent in the staff, that the general, the district office can run smoothly without interruptions and any inconvenience to the public or anyone else. And so I think this is just a wonderful thing. And I think that in the long run, we're all going to be very benefited by it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, I have one written public comment that came in. Asked to read it. And this is from Kathy Young, Oceano. It says, "Dear Board, during the January 13th meeting, I and others conveyed to you the business of the district is being impeded by your inability to get along. Before I addressed the board at the last meeting, I watched the December meeting four times. The president very clearly asked the board members to give him their requests for committee assignments. It was also communicated to you in writing. These facts were repudiated, causing the board to once again look foolish, unprofessional, and embarrassing to the community. I felt the committee assignments were less important to you than the community, than the opportunity to attack and criticize. Even after public pleas for this board to put aside animosities and petty differences, you could not make it through one meeting. How disappointing. You aren't expected to always agree. This is why there are five members. Disagreements can be handled with healthy discussion and exchange of ideas. Please be assured I understand this is a tough job, thankless job. I appreciate people who choose to be public servants, and I thank you. However, with that choice, there is much responsibility. As citizens of the district, our responsibility is to ensure our elected officials do their job and represent us in a manner we could be proud of. Public comments express how much public comments expressed how much potential Oceano has. I ask the board again to please put Oceano first and make us proud of our community and you. Kathy Young." Okay, is there any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to item number four, which is board member items for board member comments. Anybody want to start?
None at this time.
None
at this time.
Jim?
I want to commend the general manager again. As one of the commenters stated that Carol, I believe, said that for the first time, I think we're seeing cross-training of the staff here in the office. I view that also as a very positive development in the district. I want to thank the general manager for his bringing that to fruition. Also, thank him for his part in those of you that saw the presentation from the district's contract engineer about the status of the Sentry wells. We were somewhat appalled to find the physical condition of those wells was quite contaminated, and they were overgrown, not secured, and I think the general manager got a hold of the staff at the county and arranged for some of our people to secure those wells much better so that the readings that might indicate saltwater intrusion in the area nor any of the board had any expectation that they would stay beyond those limits. They each brought particular skills and filled in admirably during the time they were here and provided our board time to select permanent replacements. I think we owe them a debt of gratitude for that. Many aspects of this district work very well. The Water and Sewer Department, who also maintain our streetlights and keep everything going, they work with minimal resources, and they keep the thing going very well. The solid waste contractor performs very well for our refuse collection responsibility. The fire department, which not too many years ago had some serious shortcomings in performance, has turned that situation completely around. And now, operating together with the Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande departments, under the outstanding leadership of Chiefs Hubert and Heath, have set and met demanding performance standards. Then they raise those standards and encourage everyone to work together to meet and then again raise the standards. It's a continuous improvement process. And I know that the chiefs and our staff and the staffs of the other cities are dedicated to that. And it's everyone in the communities, doesn't matter if it's Oceano, if it's Grover Beach, if it's Arroyo Grande, everyone there knows that the level of service that they're receiving from their fire department here is excellent, and the combined operation of the departments has improved the service to the residents in all of the communities here. We're all better off for that. I can't understand some of our, for example, our president seems to have some second thoughts about the fire consolidation. I really can't understand that. People have indicated that they're upset that this board can't seem to work together. I reflected on Director Dean's comments at the last meeting. She pointed out that we'd met and set goals and unanimously agreed on what our priorities were. She pointed out that timely completion of audits and getting a new accounting system were our highest administrative priorities. And indeed, those have been our highest priorities for some years. But then you could hear and feel the frustration in her voice as she described our inability to achieve even these simple and seemingly straightforward objectives. Vern, I have the floor here.
You do, but you're a little out of order.
I have the floor here, Vern.
You do, but you're out of order, Jim.
I am not out of order.
You are out of order.
I am not out of order.
You don't attack the other board members, please.
I have not said anything about other board members. I was expressing that I felt Director Dean's frustration in our inability to achieve those objectives that we mutually agreed to, Vern.
Go ahead and continue.
You might want to listen a little more closely.
Thank you very much for the not attacking your other board members.
Quite all right. President Dahl, you agreed that getting a new system, a new accounting system, is indeed our priority, and you indicated your frustration at the lack of accomplishment. Director Lucy's repeatedly expressed frustration with the system here, and you know that I've been on a very vocal advocate to make the changes that we've all decreed are not only necessary but long, long overdue. It may be true that our frustration is vented in what may be seen as internal differences and bickering, but it's become clear to me that this board is not to resist the basic system replacement that's so obviously necessary here and so strongly desired by all of us. A real peculiar example is the new safe. We're fortunate that the general manager realized we've never even had a safe here, despite all of the large amounts of cash that we bring in. We'll talk about that a little bit later. On another subject, this district is not a city or town. That's our catch-22 here. It's our blessing and our curse. One of our commenters at the last meeting didn't understand why a restaurant would choose to locate in Pismo Beach rather than Oceano. The cities get the sales tax revenue for businesses that locate there, which are a significant portion of their revenues. They recognize it's in their interest to recruit businesses to the cities. For example, Grover Beach hired a business development manager at over $100,000 per year to steer businesses to locate there. Rio Grande and Pismo Beach do similarly. The business concentrations there then tend to become self-reinforcing. But again, we are not a city. Our district receives no sales tax money from the businesses in Oceano whatsoever. That all goes to the county. We can't compete with the resources of the cities to attract business, but hopefully we do encourage business. Our businesses here in Oceano, we're very proud of our businesses here. We encourage businesses to locate in Oceano. We may be prohibited by law from expending any resources outside the scope of our authority, and our authority here as a district is for water, sewer, fire protection, street lighting, and solid waste disposal. But we can help to be an advocate with the county to encourage businesses to locate here. It's in the county's interest to increase their sales tax revenues, and it's in our interest to have the businesses available for our residents. So I just wanted to make those comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Lucy?
Can I interrupt you?
No.
No.
We'll come back to public comment after it's all over, and you can talk then. Okay. Do we have something for hearing? No.
Ma'am, you will have no problem hearing me, I promise you.
All right. Okay, we're going to adjust the speakers. Thank you. Is that better? Is that better out there? Can you hear better? All right, thank you. All right, Mary Lucy.
First of all, I'd like to thank Director Hill for kind of explaining how process works sometimes. I think that we have a tendency to disconnect from people who don't sit at the table and don't quite understand everything that happens. And we throw around terms, which is kind of our own language, and just assuming that everybody who's watching and everybody who attends understands exactly what we're saying. So first of all, I do want to thank you, Director Hill, for kind of explaining a little bit more in depth of some example. The other day I had requested from President Dahl that I be assigned to the Zone 3 district seat, and he was kind enough to present that committee assignment to me. Now, I was led to believe that I had to submit a bio and that the Board of Supervisors had to approve that appointment. So when I, and Director Dean had held the seat for the last, I think, 3 years?
Two years,
which I also want to thank for handing over such comprehensive files. I can't really thank her enough. So the secretary told me, I said, I haven't submitted a bio to the county yet. And he looked at me in a kind of a puzzled look, and he goes, no, we just need a letter from your board stating that you've been appointed. But you can seat tonight, and but you won't be allowed to vote. So the residents of Oceano weren't allowed to vote in that particular meeting. But there was some confusion, I think, because we had an outside committee and we deal with inside committees. And each committee has a different rule to go by. So is it a bio that I need, or is it a letter from the board? And so I think that caused us a little bit of confusion. But fortunately, Zone 3 was very clear on what was needed to sit at their table. But in the process, about 5 minutes into the meeting, And since I got on this board, I've been made it abundantly clear, never, ever, ever, ever should three directors be in a room. You know, that's just the cardinal sin on this board. And that it's considered a quorum and that decisions can be made. And that it's actually very dangerous. And so I believe in rules, you know, some, not all, but most of them. And so about 5 minutes into the meeting, Director Dahl walked into to the meeting and sat next to Director Dean. And I got very, very nervous because I was at the table. And at one point I thought, do I get up and leave the table? Because I don't want to be in violation. But in reality, I wasn't in violation, even though I was in a meeting that was outside of the district. So I guess when I think of the subcommittees that are being put together and where things could really be of value to the board so we could better work together, I would say, you know, that we have a clear understanding on which set of Robert's rules we're working under, because I'm not clear on which set we're working under, and I'm only familiar with one set of the rules. So I think as under board comment, I wanted to put that out. And then also, too, is I have a little tiny store in Grover Beach, and people come into the store every single day, and they thank me. Probably 5 to 10 people thank me for AGP because they can't get out and come to these meetings.
They're given to public agency officials is don't get caught with three people in the same room because there's a potential appearance of impropriety. The violation occurs when those three people, whether they're in the same room or maybe separated by miles and they're sharing a phone conversation or a series of emails back and forth, discuss district business or something that's within the jurisdiction of the district. That's the real substance of the violation. The mere fact that you were all in the meeting at the same time on that date is not necessarily a violation.
Thank you. I have a couple items. One is I wanted to share with everybody the praise and admiration I hear out of the fire department for the general manager. They have a very high opinion of him and the job he's doing, and that's always good to hear. Number two is talking with staff after that Zone 3 meeting, and so I have been informed that the state of California has contacted the county of San Luis Obispo and has offered significant funding to fix the flooding on Highway 1. But it will be up to the county to have to manage the fix. Now it is at the point of whether the county is going to take that on or not. And there may be some down the line, some need for some advocacy from our community to push that forward. So wanted to share that with everybody tonight. That was an offer that came in a week or two ago. That's all I have. Is there any public comment on the board member comments?
Yes, I'd like to comment.
Did I hear Director Dahl correctly? Excuse me, I have a cough, obviously. did I hear your comment? You said that after the Zone 3 meeting that you found out about this funding that was going to be coming in for flooding?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So at the Zone 3 meeting, you were there actually talking to the other committee members?
No, that is not correct.
Was it after the meeting that you had exchanges with someone?
Yes.
Well, I don't know how that plays out, and I understand that you have probably perhaps some type of relationship with those people there that perhaps Mary Director Dahl does, or Director Lucy doesn't, but I would feel that it was inappropriate for you to be not including her in that information, or that information wouldn't be directed to her since she was there representing our district.
Yeah, it was not Zone 3 information.
Well,
and Mary Lucy was no longer in the building at the time.
Oh, okay. What is the protocol then? If she is on Zone 3 and that information was available, would someone call her and discuss that with her?
This was just a conversation that happened with someone after the meeting.
So had you not been there, that would have been something that we would have not known
about? That we
wouldn't
know about it yet. That's correct.
Yet. Okay, well, the garbage man's ball or something? And even at the garbage man's ball, everyone who is a director, they keep their distance from each other so that they make sure that they are all correct in the Brown Act. I don't know, but I think that Director Lucy did have a point. I think that perhaps it would be good for the directors to get together to understand that so there isn't misunderstandings. And I would like to educate myself further, too. Thank you.
Yes.
Karen Whitehouse in. First of all, you're making way too much of the Brown Act. And people can attend any kind of meeting. It's when the three of you would sit in a corner and make plans on how you're going to strategize at the meeting that it's a violation of the Brown Act, not that you might be in the same room. What's going to happen if you're all at Denny's eating breakfast? Same kind of thing. It's the spirit, not necessarily that mandate. And my complaint right now is that I've listened to you people talk for 30 minutes approximately, talking about mostly what you don't know. And I wish, I said it last meeting and I'll keep saying it, there's one Brown Act, there's one Roberts Rules of Orders, they're laws, they're available, you can get them from the state. You need to read this stuff. You need to learn what your job is. And Jim, I listened to you. You sounded like you were a political candidate. And I voted for you before, and I might vote for you again. But deal with the business of the district, not the personal business that you guys just keep going back and forth on. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on the board member items? No, that's...
I can't hear you.
Okay, the flood zone is zone 1-1A, and zone 3 is the...
Because I was talking to them about that flood zone.
Yeah.
And, Mr. Dahl, I consider you very rude when you have a person that's 88 years old...
Ma'am, you have to use the microphone.
Okay, that's right. They can't hear me any more than I can hear them.
I consider it very rude. I am a citizen here. I'm part of Oceano, helped form this thing. And when I'm trying to tell you nicely, I can't hear you. And I am 88. I have a right to not hear you. And you bang the thing on. Are you in love with that thing or something? That was rude of you.
Thank you for your comment. I agree. I am sorry. I did not recognize what was going on. I thought it was just another interruption that has happened so many times here for just people talking in while the board is talking. And I did not realize that there was a hearing problem, and my deepest apologies for having done that. We do need to make
then
sure you can hear.
What you have to do, and I when I'm listening on the TV, and I see you do it all, see, not just you, but all of you do it, is you do not listen.
The board act professionally and with respect, treat each other with respect, and also the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments? Okay. Moving on, we have the review and approval of the minutes. Anything additional on the minutes, General Manager Montemiro?
No, sir. We have the minutes as presented.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on the minutes? Okay. Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any comments from the board? Changes?
The only thing is that I think during the discussion of the warrants, the general manager commented that for one of the first times that the check numbers that appear on district checks match the bank clearing number and the receipt number on the bottom of the check stub, which is something that has not happened in this community for right up till now. And that's another major improvement that we've seen here with General Manager Matamoro, and I want to thank him for that, and I think the comment should be included in the minutes.
Okay. Any others? Okay. Entertain a motion.
I would move that the minutes be approved as presented with the addition of the general manager's comment about the warrants.
Okay. I'll second that.
All right. Okay, have a motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, carries 4-0. Okay, we have no reports. Administrative items. Audit of the 2007-2008. General Manager.
Our auditor from Moss Levy is here, and he'll present the fiscal year 2007-2008 audit. And he will be able to answer any questions that the board has. As far as administration, I want to thank the auditor for their hard work, and it's our recommendation that after the board's questions are answered, that they accept and the audit is recorded. That concludes my report.
Okay.
Good evening.
Thank you.
My name is Ryan Cornell, senior manager at Moss Levy & Hartsine. Our offices are out of Santa Maria. No problem. These financial statements are as of June 30, 2008, as Raphael mentioned, a couple years old, obviously. So there's not a whole lot, I mean, because we're talking 2 years back, so there's not a whole lot we can do. We can reflect on it, which is fine. But again, it's more important that we look forward and we can see what we did in 2007, 2008. But again, we're in the 2009-10 fiscal year, so I think that's a little bit more important for the district to focus on. With that said, on page one of the audit report, it's the end of
can understand in the back of the room.
Okay. That's my train of thought. I'm sorry. I'm just going
to
go ahead and jump
sorry,
in.
I didn't mean to do that.
I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into the next thing we have going on. On page number six, it's the general fund balance sheet. We can see where the Oceano Community Services District was at June 30, 2008. Obviously, total assets were at $1.1 million, with liabilities at $134,000. One of the figures that we look at as an accountant or anybody reading financial statements is the asset-to-debt ratio. And in this particular case, it actually is pretty significant in the general fund, whereas the assets are quite a bit higher than the liabilities. On the following page, on page 8, this is the revenues and expenses. This is the profit loss. Again, this is probably one of the most important things that the district staff wants to look at. At the very bottom, excess revenues over expenditures was at $196,000. So that's a financial growth in the district. Again, that's better than a negative growth. So as we turn the page, we'll get into the water fund, the sewer fund, and the garbage fund. Again, on page 11, the bottom line, change in net assets, slight decreases in water and sewer fund. The water fund was $300. a decrease of $300. Not very much for a district this size. The sewer fund, a decrease of almost $9,000. For a district this size, that's almost, that's very insignificant. And then lastly, the garbage fund had a growth of $5,000. Overall, it seemed like the district broke even for this fiscal year. With that said, a lot of people from the public are concerned that they're not you know, we get, you know, the property taxes that, you know, we're sending the revenues. They're not spending it. In this particular case, in this fiscal year, it seems that all the revenues that were received were pretty much expensed. Okay. For the most part, that's all I have. I'm actually more here to answer any questions that I'm sure you members have. So I'll be more than willing to answer any questions that you have.
Okay. That concludes the report then at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any public comment on the audit report? Please come up to the microphone.
I have some questions. I'm Larry Bross. This is not, this was 2 years ago, right? So how long did it take you to do 2 years ago? How long did this report take to make? I mean, how many months or years did you work on it, and how much does it cost us? Can I get some answers on that? In other words, were they working 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 10 months, a year? And if they were working 1 month, would it have cost us less than 6 months? And right. Could I know?
All right. Yeah, we'll have the accountant address that afterwards. Is there
Thank
any
you.
Other public comment?
We're all wondering is how long it took and how much it cost, and if everything had been as it should have been and everything would have been timely, how long would it have taken? And, of course, then we have to address that we're still not physically current. So, and we are understanding that the forensic audit will be 2008 through 2009, and will this audit that we've had help speed that up as well?
Any other public comment?
Nina Grabiel Oceano. You know, Mr. Dahl, I really resent the fact that you're going to sit there and get paid to tell people that we're going to do it your way, whether it makes sense or not. What spirit is that coming from? Do you want to alienate, insult the public? Or do you want to work with the public, provide answers so that maybe it might affect the following public comment? Do we want transparency, or are we going to just play games here with you? You're not a dictator. And if people have questions, they deserve answers right then and there. There's no reason for a delay. How long did it take, sir?
Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
My name's Eleanor Wheeler. I live in Oceano. And it's my understanding that the board has general policies they follow as far as the agenda, and they have a formal agenda, and it's not the president's decision how to interpret it. It's following the agenda.
Thank you.
Rick Searcy, Oceano. Just under your budget items here, under operating expenses, you have a line item here for water, and it states here that there's special department, I believe it's special department expenses of $327,000. And, you know, could maybe while the auditor's here, he kind of break that down to the public a little bit of what those expenses curtail. And then the other item in your budget, I see here is throughout the three funds that you have listed here, water, sewer, and garbage, you got $452,000, $644 of general and administrative overhead. I mean, that's 2 years ago. So, I mean, that's close to $500,000 in just administrative and overhead. Can somebody kind of break that down and what administrative that is? And
something, and still the people can't hear in the back. They can't hear you. The only reason I can hear you is because I've been to about a jillion of these meetings, only because I'm older than all of you, and they can't hear you back there.
I can hear fine.
You can hear fine?
Yes.
Good for you. Good for you. But there are other people who can't, who are not that lucky.
I need to get on the meeting.
Would you like to come take my place?
Okay, please, direct your
comments. I don't think
to
I
that.
Should be rudely treated, no matter who I am. And I think it's up to the president to say one person speaking at a time, even if I am speaking out of turn. But nobody's given me a turn and said, oh, we didn't realize that we were doing this and that other people can't hear. That's wonderful if somebody can hear. And it's wonderful if they can do that.
Are you able to hear now what is going on?
Are you able to hear?
Are you able to hear what's going on now?
No.
Do we need to turn up the volume some more for you? Because we can do that if you would like.
And that's why I ask if it's a private meeting. And when I'm speaking and somebody else interrupts me, I think you should say we have someone at the microphone now. I never heard of a meeting like this. It's the most god-awful thing I ever saw.
And I've been here a lot of years in Oceano and got formal CSD.
Thank you. Okay, is there any other public comment on the audit?
I know he wants to answer my question, but the point is this. Once he answers my question, will I be able to comment after that? Will there still be public comment? That's why I think after he's finished answering, he'll say that's all is public comment, and I won't be able to comment on what he said.
All right. Public comment is not designed to have a dialogue between either reports or the board or anything like that. So it has to happen at one point in time. It can't be back and forth, or we'd be here all night long. So there is a time that public comment happens, and then it goes back, and the business is done, and the board, we go to that. Yeah. And so that's why we did it all in one section, one chunk, and now we're going to address those issues from the auditor. You're absolutely right, and I'm glad that hopefully we have that problem straightened out now.
Could I ask the general manager in future meetings to have perhaps some accommodation that could be made for people that need that?
Yes, we've already made a note of it. We'll look into it.
Thank you.
ASAP.
Okay. I just have a couple budget questions.
Okay, do you want to ask them before he addresses the
liaison that was appointed by the board? The auditor had asked for many things, and in the course of doing that, for some reason, as I understood it, the staff had multiple fumbles of the ball as far as delivering the things that the auditor requested. Either that wasn't the right number, it wasn't the right page. We thought we sent it, we didn't. Oh, we didn't send it. Oh, well, we'll take it there. Well, we took the wrong thing. And it appeared to me to be delaying tactics, and I don't know whether it was intended to embarrass the auditor or just slow the process, but those were some of the things I observed.
To answer your question, Jim hit it right on the head on what happened. I think your question should be more directed to management and what happened with management, because really, typically, a normal audit, communication comes between us and management, and then at the end of each year, we'll present the board present the audit. With that said, timeline, I'm not sure on these figures, but I know we were out here about March, April time last year to begin field work. Now, obviously, we weren't here looking at documents from April till now. Now, we did, I think we did a week, right about April time. We gave them a list, and that's pretty much what it was. We was going back and forth on, here's a list. I get information back. I cross off, three things on the list. There's still six more items on there, and, we still need these six. And it was kind of back and forth like that. So that's really the best answer I could have. The actual cost of the audit, that's really not my side of my job, of how much, we charge for fees. It is one flat rate. Granted, we do hourly rates, so, we have the hours that we put on the engagement, but we do not exceed a certain contract price. And typically, that's where the contract price is what the audit fee was. It should be documented in the minutes for when you sign the engagement letter for the three-year contract. I know it's definitely there, but I'm sure either Raphael or Gina could look that up very quick as to how much we're charging the district. As far as June 30, 2009's audit, our office staff is ready to go. We've given the district management all of the adjusting journal entries from June 30, 2008. So as soon as they post those entries and they close out their year end, as soon as they contact with us, we could get them on the calendar. We can get out here and start doing our field work.
Okay. And are you guys going to be doing the
the forensic audit?
Forensic audit?
We do not do the forensic audit. That's actually a specialized accounting field that our office does not do. As far as a forensic audit, we're almost pretty sure when you do have your forensic auditor come in, they're going to want to see the June 30th, 2009 financial statements first before they actually go in and start digging in on the TESA transactions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you go ahead and address the concerns the public had earlier before we continue from the board level?
I did hit those points.
I didn't get a figure as to how much more it would have cost if it was the average 3 months that most districts pay.
Like I see is, I can find the contract for 3 years, and I'll make it public knowledge right away as soon as we find what the three-year contract was for.
Is that the normal rate that most districts pay for? Yes. That's the question I have.
Okay, why don't you come in to the general manager and ask those questions, and he can report it at the next meeting. No, Larry, the conversation's done. You're just taking up time. The information will be given. He will look it up. You can get it ahead of time. He will report on it on the next meeting. He doesn't have it here right now.
Oh, I see.
Okay? And you can come in and get it.
Will that be reported to the meeting so the public knows?
I just said that, Larry. Yes. You will report it at the next meeting. Okay, we are moving on. There were some items on water and water costs that were asked also. Could you address those, please?
Okay. Again, I'm going to have to ask Gina for her help on what the special department expenses are, because I'm not really sure on that. As far as the general and administrative overhead, what happens is all of the expenses for administration gets run through the general fund. And obviously, because some of the administrative are on sewer-related issues and water-related issues, a percentage of their salary gets allocated to each one of those funds. So that's what that number is doing. It's allocating what expenditures were in the general fund and allocating it to the proper funds. Okay. Can you help with the special department expenses?
Sure. The special departmental expense in water is strictly for Zone 3 for the Lopez contract.
And that's the payment of the water.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Is there any additional questions from the board?
You haven't asked for any questions from the board yet.
Well, there's been some already asked anyway. So, any questions from the board?
Yes, I have some. The first question is did you have to close the books on this fiscal year? For the district?
As auditors, we physically do not close the books. That's an independence issue.
Quite right. I know we've had that problem in the past, that sometimes our auditors have had to close the books, and it does compromise their independence. Another question, are you confident that all of the district's funds are incorporated into this? And an example might be that, let's say, I know, for example, just on one issue, the legal services, that we have a bank with our one of our legal service providers, and we may be ahead or behind on that. I believe at the current time, there's about a $35,000 amount that is owed in legal fees, and for whatever reason, that was not carried on the books for a couple of years. So I want to know if that is in the audit.
When I was asked to do my audit letter, I particularly looked for that issue, and at the June 30th, 2008 date that this audit is as of, the amount in the bank was insignificant. It was, I don't remember the precise number, but it was like 10 or 15 hours either way.
Okay, but that's still, let's say, and I presume that that's significant deficiencies in our administrative and accounting system. Is that correct?
It's the process of accounting and processing transactions.
It was noted that bank reconciliations were not performed on a timely basis. It was noted that the district had a number of outstanding checks that were outstanding for more than 6 months. Recommendation, all cash accounts should be reconciled monthly. Apparently we didn't do that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that normal?
No.
Hmm.
Can you expand on that?
Any expansion would have to come from management. We just come in and we... Any explanation would have to come from management. We just come in, we examine the bank reconciliations. We could tell when the bank reconciliations... When the bank reconciliations were done, that's what we noted, that they weren't not done on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. And we have apparently no segregation at that time. I believe the general manager now is starting to institute some of these controls, despite my repeated requests that prior general managers take action on some of these things. But... one of them is we got too many people doing the same thing so that we have no segregation of responsibilities. They recommend that the administrative assistant not be an authorized check signer on the general account. These are all recurring. You can this management letter is almost a copy of the last one, and you can go back to the prior auditor before that. We've been told these things repeatedly for years. It's starting to become tiresome to me. During the testing of cash receipts and customer payments, it was noted that the district does not reconcile credits to customer accounts with deposits posted to the general checking account. Recurring finding. Is that normal?
No, it's not.
Let's say that I had a, it says here, this is an important control to verify the accuracy of each deposit. This will also ensure that a misappropriation of assets does not go undetected. What if I had, say I had a side business, maybe, I don't know if you watch the movies, you ever watch Top Gun? It's interesting. Let's say that I had a side business and I imported rubber dog poop from Hong Kong, and I sold it at the farmer's market. And maybe I don't have a whole bunch of interest in bank accounts and so forth, but I take a few checks in my business. And if I was to do stuff like process checks through the district's accounts, what would that look like from a from an accountant standpoint, from an audit standpoint? Would it look something like this statement right here?
If I'm understanding your question correctly, it sounds like you're mixing two separate businesses.
You're exactly right.
And in which in this case, the district did not do that. The district was receiving monies for district-related purposes.
Could I just bring them to the front counter maybe and take the cash and leave the checks and it'd be processed through? Is that possible?
you have to ask management on the controls on that, but typically that is not a control that's used in districts. I do not believe that the district is using that control here where they're casting checks like that. That's more, it sounds like more of a bank transaction, not necessarily the district transaction.
Yeah. The district was required to make excessive journal entries to the general ledger at the end of the fiscal year to correct ending balances. Is that common? Apparently not.
No, it is not.
It was difficult to locate the purpose or rationale of the journal entries. You know, this is a recurring theme in our last three audits. The prior auditor pointed out the same thing. I'm really, really becoming tired of this. During the examination of credit card transactions, 7 of the 10 tested, 70% of the credit card transactions did not have appropriate management approval, and in another instance, backup to the credit card transaction could not be located. That's very troubling to me. Could it be that, I don't know, what's going on with the credit cards? I guess I have to ask management. The trouble is when I do that, I get double talk and so forth. It's interesting that the response to the management letter from last year, which was almost a carbon copy of this, Senator said, "Oh, the district will make appropriate steps to ensure this control is in place." Wrong. The district will make the appropriate steps to ensure this control is in place, like it's brand new knowledge. This is stuff the auditors have been telling us repeatedly. Do you find when you make recommendations elsewhere that the management of the districts or whoever the person that's being audited, they just shine on what you tell them and they don't do anything about it?
Most of the districts that we start off with prior year findings and we check the status on that. With that said, we just do the status. We don't really do the cause of why it did or did not get implemented.
I understand that.
We're more concerned with if it did get implemented or not.
And apparently they haven't been.
Correct.
And they weren't from the prior auditor either. That strikes me as most unusual. I have a fiduciary responsibility, I hope you understand that, to the people in this room. Every one of you, I owe you a fiduciary duty to watch your money. And this man is telling me that it's not being done right. And the guy that did this a year ago told me the same thing. And the prior guy that was from a different firm told me the same thing. And Mr. Hayes was here in 2004 or something and told us the same thing. He said, he used the terms that our accounting system was unintelligible in his estimation, unintelligible. We still got that same thing here today. Today. Yet, despite the efforts of this board for change, somehow we can't get our frustration communicated. Not a one-time thing. What the hell's going on here? I want to know. I want to know why our administrative staff and our upper administrative management blows this off. I appreciate that. I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. And I don't know what to do. The government code doesn't allow us control over staff. So hopefully the general manager now will start to take some action and bring these things under control. I know that he has. And one of them is he's brought in a safe for the first time. The resistance to those kinds of things that I'm seeing from staff and some board members, just amazing to me. But so it goes. Anyway, thank you very much for your audit. I appreciate your efforts on our behalf. I appreciate you pointing out these significant deficiencies here. That concludes my report.
All right. General Manager Montemiro.
I would just like to make just a few comments. And for example, when I came and this audit was still, you know, in the works, I did that. I went back and I read the previous, you know, comments, and I, too, was amazed at how much the management letters had the same theme, you know, how the accounting system works, the appropriations, you know, the job duties and stuff. So when I received the audit and I was given the opportunity to respond, for example, to the management letter, I chose not to. I went and I spoke with Ron Levy at great lengths, and I told him, I says, Ron, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the management letter, seeing how it reflects so much the previous one, as a guide as to what needs to be fixed. And so I'm not going to respond. First of all, it happened long before my watch, so it would be hearsay for me to even comment as to what happened. But second of all, I want to use it as these are the improvements that need to be made. Now, I've made some of them already. For example, I have an accounts payable person and an accounts receivable person. And, you know, we never had that before, and I make sure that the duties are extremely separate and distinct from what I've, you know, experienced in audits in the past. That's a good thing. And as it's been mentioned numerous times, I've facilitated a safe to protect the assets, even though it, sometimes I've been criticized for that, but that's okay. So I thank you for your management letter, and it's going to be my goal. Now, obviously, I can't fix them all, you know, overnight, but we're going to work towards it, and next year's management letter is not going to look like this, especially the ones like, for example, the credit card ones. I don't have a credit card, so first I have to find out, you know, who has them and what's going on, but we'll do that. Second of all, like the time cards, for example. The time cards, there's no reason for that. The supervisors should sign the time cards. And, you know, I assure you that I have been signing them, and that process will continue.
2 years out of date. This forces our board to make decisions based on information that's irrelevant. Things like water charges, whether we need rate increases. This audit is a key, not this audit, but one if we had it current today, is necessary for things like rate increases, for getting certain grants, things like that that are based on audit reports. And if I was someone who had the responsibility to give grants and I see that we have significant deficiencies, I would think twice about awarding those grants. Thank you.
Director Lucy.
Well, it depresses me to think that we have another year that it has to look like this. Let's hope that people can dance faster and get some of these changed. But I think it's important that the public know, too, is that some of us do take the district's money personal, and that money should be spent like we spend our own very, very wisely. Explain to me, you know, if we have to rely on management to make the changes, right? So we're kind of boxed, you know. So would you say the audit is just to say, you know, here's kind of what we've put together based on what your management has given us?
These financial statements are management's financial statements. So okay. we do report what our job and what our duty is to do is report what management is representing and to see if it's accurate or inaccurate.
Okay, so if you just take one of these findings, and I'm very embarrassed by this, and I wasn't even on the board at the time, but I signed up for the job. So, you know, out of 25 payroll transactions, 15 of them were not signed by a supervisor. 15 out of 25. That meant 10 were signed out of 25. So just from, you know, not even from a professional point of view, just from a practical point of view, how do you get these policies in line, you know, when you can't manage them, you can't supervise them? I mean, what happens to organizations who don't follow the rules? I mean, Look, I've ran two nonprofits and I've worked for the city. I'll tell you, if I got an audit report like this and any of my funders saw it, I'd be fired on the spot. This is not managing money. And if this is the best the management could have given you to audit, this is our best. See, management supplies the auditors with the information. This is the best we could give them. God forbid this be the worst. Do you have any suggestions on how other organizations, when they have no control, I guess?
To be perfectly honest with you, most organizations that we do this audit for, when we come up with these findings and recommendations, they tend to be implemented the very next year. At the same time, too, the audits are done.
Mary said 15 of the reviewed check or time cards weren't reviewed. Looking back at the 2007 report, there were only five. So we're in the bottom of the heap, and we have a declining trend.
Director Dean?
I hold our management responsible for that. I hold our senior administrative staff responsible for that. And I expect the general manager to implement strong controls now.
Yeah, Director Dean, you have the floor.
Thank you for coming and responding to the public, and I think it's really good. I, too, I've gone back 10 years to Mr. Hayes' audit. It was an embarrassment to the district then, and we're still in the same position.
No, Pamela, if I might make an interjection, I take exception to the characterizing the audit as an embarrassment.
You have your turn to respond. I'll give you another chance at it, but let Pamela speak, please.
Thank you, Pamela.
Has the floor.
You're right.
Okay. I don't mean that the audit is an embarrassment. I meant that the management letter is an embarrassment. What we found in our Hayes audit was very similar to what's going on now, and Mr. Hayes recommended that we go to QuickBooks or some other accounting system back in 2002, and nobody wanted to listen. That was before I was on the board. We've been at this a very long time, as we've all agreed. Our financial system, our accounting system, is very deficient, and it's the general manager calls it worse than a dinosaur. He said it's an impossible thing to work with. So part of what we're working with is so much of a dinosaur that you can't even work with it properly. He's told me a dinosaur isn't a good enough name for it or bad enough name for it. We have been going through, I have to tell the public, we've been going through many general managers. If you have many general managers over time, you can't institute these changes. They just kind of kept things going, and they should have started working on things, but we can't keep anybody over 9 months. So hopefully Raphael is going to start working on this. He has started working on this. I knew when we got this particular audit and the management letter, it would be exactly the same as what we had before because things hadn't changed. 2008, 2009, there may be some few changes. We were still in a very bad situation at that point. I have a question to you regarding this. You're saying that we have our cash flow is looking good, our liabilities and our assets look good. Do you
overall what the increase or decrease in cash? I guess in a way, cash reserves. Cash is funny because, again, you have non-cash transactions like depreciation, which is a big one. But as on an accounting side, you know, we look at the change, and that's kind of your increase or decrease in the strength or of the district, financial position of the district. And, again, on this one, there was a slight increase. It's very, like again, I said, very little, almost broke even, but it was on the positive side. But it seems from last year to this year, it seemed pretty much the same.
When you do the next audit, will it be simpler and faster now that you've gone through two of these?
It will, definitely. Time is in the way the program, way the accounting system works, and the way journal entries get posted, and the controls and the reports that we need to look at so we could verify these account balances. It does get easier for us because we know what reports, because we get to look at last year. Oh, this is the report we used last year. We don't have to talk to Gina and kind of like, okay, this is what I mean, describe what we need. We could just say, well, this is the report that we need, and so time does go by a little easier.
So you have a better understanding as you go along.
Right, and so does management. Management has the same understanding of what we need from them, so they're able to provide ahead of time. Like, that, okay, I know he's going to look at that account. I'll have all the schedules and so forth ready.
Is Raphael prepared? Does he understand all of the? I guess I should ask Raphael if he understands all of the reports that need to be provided so that we can get those to you as fast as possible.
The answer to the question is yes and no. Do I understand what the auditor needs to do a fast and efficient audit? Absolutely yes. Am I going to be able to do that? You heard this gentleman earlier say that his firm is not going to do the forensic audit. So, therefore, that means that I am presently, as we speak, shopping for someone that will. So it won't have the continuity or the expediency that you would expect by the same person doing it for the third time. And it was my desire that their firm would do it just for that reason, because it would be easier and faster. But Mr. Ron Levy respectfully declined, and I have to accept his decision. But I will one more time attempt to call and speak with him and thank him for this audit and see if he would reconsider. But as it stands now, we do not have an auditor that's committed to do last year's audit at a forensic status. That concludes my report.
Oh, thank you. So that really puts us behind the eight ball again. That means that we are starting from scratch unless we use someone we've used in the past. Someone we used in the past agrees to do a forensic audit who would understand our system.
That's a very accurate statement. If someone has been here before, it would be easier, especially, as you eloquently said, sorry to say that's a luxury that we do not have at this point. I would like to have it. Thank you.
As would board members. Thank you. What I've seen in just simple things that you use at home, like QuickBooks, you just put it on a disk, send it to your auditor or your tax person, and they take care of it for you. That's the way it should be, and it isn't. We've been at this particular level for many, many years. I know that we will be looking into reports on what financial or accounting systems are out there. Do you have any recommendations for what's used for CSDs or small districts like this? Or am I putting you on the spot too much?
No, the only expertise I could just see what other districts use, and pros and cons with each system, because obviously when we go to the district and we see what system they're using, there's things that we like, there's things that we obviously don't like. A lot of the cities, and I know it's not a city, but they have the water, they have the sewer, they have the billings for the customer billings, and the popular one seems to be Eden accounting software. Again, you'd be surprised, a lot of the CSDs that are your size still do have a similar system to yours current. I mean, it's a little more upgraded, but for the most part, yeah, they're pretty much going away for the most part. Other than that, QuickBooks, I've seen QuickBooks used. It's a little bit, because of fund accounting, it is a little bit more tricky, and the user needs to have a little bit more knowledge of how the report needs to get. The QuickBooks will do it. It's just how to get it to what you need it to be at is a little bit of the trick on QuickBooks. So, again, that's kind of the pro and con. The con with going back to Eden, I think it's probably the most expensive accounting software system out there, if I'm not mistaken. But, again, that's not really my side of things.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Did you still have anything else, Jim?
Yes, I want to apologize, Pamela. I apologize for stepping on you. I was out of line. I hope that my frustration in dealing with this entire subject caused me to do that. And again, I apologize. I think we are all on the same page here. We are all frustrated that despite years of common direction that's been given, we've been unable to have the staff carry out the board is supposed to make policy. We've established a policy for years to improve our accounting system here. It's the staff's responsibility to carry that out. Hasn't happened.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so this is a receive and file.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate your
help. Thank you very much.
Help.
President Dahl, can I ask that we go beyond receive and file and that and that the next meeting we can see what out of the findings, which ones have began to be rectified?
If you want to.
For me to give you the ones that I've already done, and then after those, I'll give you the ones that we're targeting to do next.
Great. Thank you.
You're always welcome.
You're not going to get a phone call.
Okay, this takes us on to item number 7B. General Manager Montemiro, would you introduce this, please?
Item 7B is the 218 guidelines for submission pursuant to Article 13, D as in David, Section 6, A as in Alpha of the California Constitution. What I've done is, this is the second time that I've brought them to the board, and I want to thank Director Dean and Director Hill for last time. They had some really nice additions and corrections, and they have been implemented, and that's what is before you now. So I ask if anyone has any additional changes. At this point, it's very easy because now we have it on electric email type thing, so we can just add or delete anything. Or otherwise, if the board is pleased with the document before them, we can accept it so that when we need it, all we have to do is put in the resolution number. But I would ask if there's anything, for example, I have received one question in regard to the 50% figure that it relates to, and it's a little, perhaps we could explain it a hair better, but it is in there. And what happens is it says that if we send out or attempt to contact any given address or parcel, that the ones that we don't get, that we get back after we've received them, that we try one more time, that we make another attempt, obviously not to send them to the same place. And if we are successful in the additional attempt, then those get counted. If we're not, all we have to do is keep them together and present them. But outside of that, I haven't heard any questions or comments about the document as presented. And that concludes my report.
Okay. I have a request for a break. We want to take that now or and continue with this item afterwards, or?
I'd like to continue with this item. I don't have much to speak to on this issue. I think it's almost there, except for some spelling changes and so on, so forth.
All right.
And it won't take long, 5 minutes.
That's fine.
Okay. All right, public comment on this item?
On what?
On item 7B, the 218 guidelines.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me get this straight. This is Anina Grabiel Oceano. You're going to be voting. Okay. You're going to be voting on whether to accept this methodology that's presented before you. Is that what you're going to accept it or reject it? Is that what's going on here today, or what's going on here today?
May I answer that?
Please.
Proposition, as it was written in the article, are very nebulous on what steps need to be taken to meet that. And most jurisdictions have adopted guidelines similar to this that gives the staff direction on how to carry this out in the future should it be necessary to implement. And it provides an administrative framework. It sets up the rules, if you will, if the district were to consider a rate increase in the future. And it sets the standards by which who gets to file comments about the proposed rate increase, how they have to do it, the times that are available to
right,
do
so
that.
It's
basically looking at a framework for the process. It's not
right, and so that's my question: is you're going to be approving or not that process?
That's correct.
Okay, and my next following question is then: has the public been able to give any input to this process that you're developing?
This has been on our agenda for the last two times.
Well, that's the board's agenda. I'm talking about, has the public been able to put,
It's been noticed to the public, and those people that get full agenda packets, yes.
Well, I don't know if we're talking the same thing, Jim.
Okay.
My question is, when certain board members were assigned the responsibility of putting this packet together, putting this procedure together? Or how did this document come to exist?
Okay. Let me...
And has the public been invited to participate in producing these protocols?
I think the answer to that is yes.
Well, you're saying yes. I'm hearing no behind me.
The basic... What we did was we got several of these things that have been passed in other jurisdictions. In other words, the framework
right.
that they have established
right.
for their residents. One of them was Cambria. We looked at Napomo, some of the others. And in a meeting just like this, we discussed some of the things. Pamela had some concerns. I had some concerns on it.
Right, but I'm talking about the nitty-gritty. We're not, you know, it seems to me that, you know, this is supposed to be...
We're starting to have a conversation going on.
If we're going to have any changes in this country, we're going to have to change the way people are doing things. Now, you guys are a board that is elected by the people, and you're paid by the people, okay? And I just see... And I really kind of see your positions as basically as just overseeing things. And you've got staff here that does the nitty-gritty work of it all. Okay, so my question is something as important as this, as how are we going to go about the process of having people speak their minds, making their positions known on something as crucial as water rates and increases to water rates protests. Because quite frankly, I don't trust you guys to do it for my benefit. You obviously haven't gotten an accounting system in place that is to my benefit. How can you possibly put together a protest process to my benefit? And how do you possibly expect me to trust you to do that with the track record we have here?
All right, Nina.
So I'd like to know, are we going to be able to have public participation in the development of this document before you put it forward and then force it on us?
Thank you. I've been very generous, giving you twice a lot of time. And what I do want to remind people of is they can come into the office and talk with the general manager anytime and get questions answered and get understanding of these things, get provide input that comes to us to be dealt with via the general manager, and that the public comment time is not a questions and answers time for to come up and answer questions. It's really time for you to have gone and figured out those things and bring to us your suggestions and your things that you think we need to be looking at and need to be considering. It's like we do when we get our packets and we read through them. If we have questions, and so we don't wait for the board meetings to ask them, we call the general manager and find out and get those things cleared up so we're not here asking these questions. Jim, you look like you wanted to also respond to this as far as the question that was asked.
Well, in terms of, I'm a ratepayer here also, and I think that we have followed the process. The purpose of this framework that we're trying to establish is to formally set up to where a mechanism where the district can receive public comment on rate increases. How to do that? We're trying to make that as simple as possible for people to file protests that are legally binding under the Prop 218. So I'm a little bit discouraged that no one or certain members of the public may not have participated previously. They may have been out of the area or something, I don't know, but I think this, I know this was agendized previously and much of this discussion had already taken place, but
All right. Thank you.
I would like to speak to that because we
Pamela,
we
I had Mary's been asking for a while and I'll come back to you. Thank you.
You know, I have to agree with Nina on this, and as many times as this has been up on the agenda, no, the public hasn't been invited to build a protocol. What, you know, I don't see any problem with, since it's going to kind of go on the shelf until we get caught up in our other work before we can ever implement a 218, And quite frankly, I don't know if I'm in support of a 218 at this point, the way things are being spent. So let me finish my words.
Let me remind you, though, we're discussion. We're at public comment. We're not
so
a discussion
I,
support.
Stuff back when Kevin was here in September, it started being on the agenda. And I think Jim and it went to the Finance Committee for further review, and we've had it on the agenda many, many times. I'm not adverse to keeping it there. Yes.
Is this response to the public comment? Because we're still in public comment. Okay.
I can only speak what's happened under my watch, but under my watch, this particular document in process has been before the board in open session three times. This is the third time it's here. And as Director Dean said, it was here before I came, and I would like to thank the board for their help in getting the document to this point, because last week I met with general managers from other water districts, and one water district close by here, for this process, for this document that we are about to receive for free thanks to the board's help, paid $10,000 to get this type of information and legal things and you know, to get it. And in that district, it has worked. So I want to thank the board and all their help, and that's why it's on here to see this is where it is now, additions, corrections. That's why we're here. And it's a $10,000 savings. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment?
Carol Henson. I know of two meetings that I specifically attended because on the agenda there was the 218 and it talked about having workshops. And, in fact, I've called Pamela and asked her about it a couple of times. And, unfortunately, they were, you know, moved to another agenda. But I understand Nina's frustration in that there are papers here and things that people could look at to understand it better And I do believe that that it would be great if the board would allow this to go to another meeting and give the people time to get the packet and to look at the paperwork and see what maybe they may have some constructive criticism or something about it later. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Hearing no more public comment, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Okay. Who wants to go?
I'll just give these to Raphael. There are some little changes, small spelling changes and so forth. And I do want to speak to Carol's question about workshops. The workshops I'm thinking about are when we're talking about the rate increases, and we're not there yet. And I do want those open to everybody so you can understand what's going on. So everybody out there needs to know that these are coming up. They're coming up later this year. I would like everybody to take a look at these things. This is how you make a protest. It's really difficult. Actually, having had Cambrias and Nipomos, and there was another one that we worked with, having had somebody go before and have it worked really helped us and saved us, like Raphael says, $10,000. So this kind of work is what we're putting in, and we would like you to see it, and we would like you to see what the protest format is. But the main thing when we get to these rate increases and is to let everybody know. We want to have workshops. We're going to have them in a venue where people can understand and see the graphs or whatever it takes, because you need to understand what's going on here in this district. So that's my little spiel. Sorry to take so long.
Director Lucy?
I completely agree with Pamela, and I think if we, if it would be helpful to the public to delay this for another couple weeks, I'm all for that. Let make sure that we have a copy of the document in the front office so that people come and look at it. And I would personally invite you to come into the office and take a look at the document, make comments. Learn what it's about, and bring your comments back at the next meeting.
Or leave them, and also leave them with the general manager so that they can be possibly worked on before the next meeting.
Yes.
I have no problem with it coming back either. One of the things that I guess we do still need to tie down in it is any properties that are not notified are, you know, for whatever reason, whether we can't get mail to them, we can't figure out how to contact the owner of the property. If that happens, then are those properties counted in the total number that you got to get 50% protests on, or are those properties not part of the total number? And that was kind of the question you were referring to earlier. If we can get that tied down better in the document, that might be a good idea. Is everybody following what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a note.
So we're agreed to bring it back out at the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay, bring it back to the next meeting. This time we're going to take a short break. Okay, coming back from break, we have just completed item number 7B, We have, okay, any thoughts, anybody?
I have no preference unless the general manager does.
Do you have a preference on how you want to proceed at this point, whether we want to go to closed session, whether we want to do a few items and then go to closed session and then come back, or?
I'm here to help. Whatever the board desires is fine with me.
You have no preference one way or the other?
No, sir.
Director Lucy?
No.
Director Dean?
I just wondered how long the closed session would take because I don't, if we went now to save money for with our, how long that would take because people are sitting here and I really don't want people waiting a really long time either. So.
Okay.
Do we have an idea how long it will take?
Yeah, that's.
We should have given the public a break while we went into closed session, I guess, is the way we should have done it.
Yeah. Any particular items of extreme interest in Section 7 that the public's interested in?
Yes.
Which ones? Okay, and if we're in closed session, is that going to be a terrible burden on the rest of on you guys out there for 15 minutes?
President Dahl, can I just make a suggestion that we finish with agenda item number 7 and then do your closed session between 7 and 8?
All right. Hearing no other suggestions, that's what we'll do. Okay, this takes us to item number 7C. Board workshop, General Manager Montemuro.
This item is on the agenda to allow board directors to discuss and to determine the focus or goal of a board workshop. Last time we were given the instruction to bring the workshop here to the board between an hour, hour and a half, so that we could have it in an open session and everyone's schedule would accommodate, and staff has those instructions. But staff is waiting to hear if the board has any specific type or what workshops the board feels would be of most value.
Did anybody have any preferences on that or anything, any input on this that they were bringing to the board at this time? Because if not, we can just do this as a, we can move on through
item
this.
Item 7C?
Yes.
Well,
no, let me get a public comment. I'm sorry. I missed.
You know, it's my understanding that, number one, when any director comes on the board, there are 3 mandatory classes that they have to take. And I don't have them written down here, and I don't remember them by rote, but one is financial, and then there are other 2. And I did talk with Director Lucy, and she told me that she had already taken those courses. And I was starting to think that over the years, I know that Director Dahl has been on the board for 7 years, almost 8. I know that Jim has been here at least since 2004. And I'm not sure about how long Pamela has been here. But it's my understanding, and over those years, that that all of the directors on the board have been have gone to a lot of training classes and seminars, aside from the 3 mandatory classes that you're to take when you come on the board. And I know that the district on remedial training and training have spent thousands of dollars. And I know that I find it very disconcerting when Director Dahl talks and he wants to have some courses to teach, I believe in your words, to tell you what a director does and what a general manager does. And, you know, I know that everyone has been to all these classes and they've spent lots of money and lots of time, district's money. And I know that before Raphael was hired, I know that he, you know, presented to the directors all of his qualifications. And I know that, you know, those were all taken into consideration when he was hired and his years of work history. And when you did vote for him, I'm sure that you were confident that he knew how to be a general manager. I went back and I looked at Director Dahl's last campaign letter that he gave out to the public and passed out to people and asked them to mail in. And on that campaign letter, he was very distinct that he knew what a director's position was and what a general manager's position was and what they did. So I find it, really, I feel that it would be a waste of the taxpayers' money to, again, have to hire someone to come in here and try to tell Vern Dahl or Jim Hill or Pamela Dean how to be a director and what your position is. And I think it would be a waste of the taxpayers' money since we have a new general manager that I certainly hope does stay and doesn't go through that revolving door that, you know, you talk about. And I'm certain that with the things that he is already implementing and identifying in the district, that he is well aware of what his the district constituents should be really insulted, that you're asking, again, to have some remedial training or someone to come and tell you how to be a director. And you've just hired a new general manager who I know is well qualified to be a general manager, and to have to feel like somebody has to come in and tell him how to do that. I think you guys need to go back to the board and work out your personal grievances.
I'm Larry Bross. I'm going to be short and quick. There are four people here now, and a fifth is going to come on. I suggest you table this until you get the fifth member on the board. The fifth member may change the complete dynamics of this board. You may not need any help. Things might work out. So my suggestion is you table it until the fifth member is there. There's no point in even bringing that out now.
Nina Grabiel, OCSD. Quite frankly, I agree with what Carol's her sentiments. I don't understand why you people need further training on what your job is. If you don't know by now what your job is, I've been hearing for months now, years, that you know what your job is because you've been telling us that you can't direct staff, that you can only set policy. So you know that. If you need a refreshment as to what you can and can't do, I suggest you just look at your own job descriptions. I mean, it's written right there what you can and can't do. So why you need, you know, and then, I don't know, I just see this as just another, how should I say, waste of money running this district into the ground. So for what purpose? What are you going to get out of it? Are you think you're really going to change, Vern? Are you really going to change your position on anything? Are you really going to change your attitude towards the public? Are you really going to, are you thinking this workshop is going to make you take your responsibility to handle and oversee the finances of this district any more seriously? Do you think it's going to change your allegiances? I doubt it. Please stop wasting my money.
I don't appreciate it. You were not hired to waste my money. This is not a gravy train for you.
Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none, bringing it back to the board. Any comments or at this point?
Yeah, I have one or two.
Okay, go ahead.
I came back with some ideas of what I'd like to have to talk about. And I don't need really to have a special person come on board or whatever, but I really think each one of the board members needs to know about the rules of order, about the Brown Act, and knowing that Robert's rules of order does not pertain. We have rules. I don't think it needs to be overly done, but maybe we could each take it on. Since we all know, we've trained, we all know what's going on, or we should review what's going on. I think we need to probably train not only ourselves again, and if you're training somebody else or speaking to it at a board meeting, I think it will help the people out there, the people in the audience, to understand what's going on. It doesn't have to be a full-on training that has a lot of cost to it, but it does need to be something where we work together and explain it so everybody does understand, because some of the things I'm hearing tonight are not true. You need to know how the system works, and we, you know, if we were each taking a segment, I'd like a 10-minute segment each time on a separate idea. And so maybe we can do it that way. That way it's approachable. That way we're speaking to our constituency and our own selves and refreshing our remembrance of what goes on. That's all I had to say.
Thank you. Yeah, I was looking at something that was as much helpful for the public and in some ways even more so, as well as the an accountability issue. So if the public's aware of where the board's stepping or individuals are stepping over the line as well, that's also brought out. So that's kind of, you know, good foundation and a good foundation between the board and the general manager as far as where the board, what the board can and can't do and what the general manager's roles are in respect to the board, that type of thing, so that we're all understanding everything and we're all on the same page, and it's kind of like a something to try to bring the board together a little bit better. So so that's what I was looking here at this item in respect to. And again, I'm not looking at some big expensive thing, but something that, you know, if nothing else can be, might even be possibly to be done in-house. So, but I wanted something at the board meeting so that public could understand the intent of things like the, you know, how a meeting's run, what the, a lot of the procedures are, and, you know, what the reason for public comment is. You know, public comment is a time where you give input to the board. It's not a questions and answers time. We're tied to supposed to being only able to give really short, brief statements to public comment, not long, a lot of time spent on it, on responding to everything every time, so that the public understands. You come in, you get it just like we do. You come into the office, you get your questions answered, you find out what's going on before you get to the meeting. You come in here and you give us input so that we have something that that we can use as well to consider when we make our decisions. That's the type of thing I was looking for here. I think maybe because we've already decided to look at, we haven't decided to do it. We've decided to look at what the costs are and what the and what we send some stuff in and let him put it together on his own over the next couple weeks or so. What's the pleasure of the board?
Perhaps it's time that we reconsider adopting Robert's Rules of Order. I think some of the confusion might be alleviated here if this board were to adopt Robert's Rules of Order. I want to share my perspective on this with members of the public. I've had calls and so forth on this, and at the risk of making another political speech, Karen, I do have some prepared remarks. Also, some of it I'll probably just wing through it, but I'm absolutely opposed to bringing somebody in here that's going to tell people whose rules is what. This district's already spent thousands of dollars, and I've invested a lot of my time, effort, and so forth to learn what the rules are, and I expect the rest of the board members, most of them, do that already. We've talked about bringing everybody together. Well, guess what? I wasn't elected here because people were satisfied with the status quo in Oceano. I specifically promised to change things here if I was elected. When I was elected, let's take a look at what's gone down here in the past few years. And again, Karen, my personal apologies if this sounds like a campaign statement, but at that time, the general manager was in the newspaper for a swearing and shouting match with a local business owner in the middle of the street downtown on a Friday morning. The district directors had voted themselves health insurance and cell phones paid by the district residents. Most of our residents here don't enjoy those luxuries, but the directors, one of whom is still sitting on this board at that time, voted themselves those benefits. That wasn't even known to the residents because these meetings weren't televised. Nobody had any idea what was going on here. People who tried to attend the meetings were treated with disrespect and contempt, so they stayed away. The front office was a revolving door where competent account clerks were regularly leaving because of an unworkable accounting system enforced by senior employees. That's a situation that still remains to this day. Now, the director who had to give up the phone and lose eligibility for the free insurance might resent my efforts, but the public seems to be happy with it. There's still a whole lot of unfinished business here. Right today, you saw our auditor tell us what it was. Our CPAs tell us that we've had serious problems with our finances. All of us, every one of us, has specifically stated that we want that changed. Not just now, but for years. We've communicated that countless times. But whatever reason, the senior administrative staff here has resisted those necessary changes. But anybody who brings this up gets accused of making personal attacks. Well, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the district senior staff filing false statements in response to our auditors when I'm the one, not them, who has the fiduciary responsibility to protect me. I'm just tired of it. And if you think, Vern, that we're going to have a come together, I didn't get on this board to be your friend, Vern.
I'm not looking for a friend. I'm looking for a working
friend. Well, you're not going to find one here. I'll guarantee you that.
That's fine.
And as far as it goes, I'm here to represent you. I answer to you. And if the people here continue to consider that my service is acceptable on this board, then I'll stay. But That's what it's come down to. I don't need any kumbaya singing. I don't need anything like that. I know exactly what my job is here, Vern. And I know what yours is, too, or what it should be. So it's time to just stop giving the lip service and the nonsense. We have a goal. Let's work toward those goals. I'm not here to be anybody's buddy, but if you out there... My phone number is on the card, and I want to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Did you have anything you wanted to add, Mary?
No, I think you pretty much summed it up.
Okay.
Some of us are in the mix, and some of us are out of the mix. Yeah. Some of us get to make decisions, and some of us already made the decisions. So, no, I think you summed it up quite well, Jim.
Well, the problem is not knowing what the duties of the directors are. It's the problem is they've been stepped over the line so many times. you know, I mean, I don't want to get into where those were at, because I don't want to get into additional attacks of each other on the board. And I'm not here to attack somebody on the board. I'm trying to get past all that, but it doesn't seem to be happening. So this was an attempt to try to do that. And if it doesn't happen, then that's fine. But I have tried to bring a working relationship here. And from the, you know, at this point, from the sounds of it, we've probably no sense in pursuing it anymore, because it's going to take three of us to want to do that. And although we seem to have that direction, that agreement at the last meeting, we don't seem to have it now. So at this point, I guess it just...
Let's move on.
...dies. So that takes care of item number 7C. Item number 7D. We already had it on that one. Item number 7D is the new ad hoc committees. Rafael? Director?
I don't have any information on the new ad hoc committee, because I didn't put that on the agenda. At the last meeting, it was left over. We had the regular committee assignments, and those were passed out, and I've shared those with the public, and we've scheduled some meetings. But what the new ad hoc committees are assigned.
Wanted to get two ad hocs going. One was to facilitate and expedite the items needed to get the rate increase, which would be the rate study, and all those things involved in that. And I was hoping that Director Hill and Director Lucy could be on that. And I wanted to put together two ad hocs, one that would expedite and facilitate the movement forward of what it takes to get the rate, the 218 vote finish done, and so that we don't have to just hear and get updates at each meetings, and then the ad hoc on its own could determine when it needed to meet to help move that along. And I was hoping that Director Hill and Director Lucy could be on that, and then I wanted another ad hoc that would expedite and facilitate the codification, and I was wanted to be on that, and with Director Dean to work toward that, and that's what I'm looking to do, and that's what I wanted to appoint. Is there any public comment?
Excuse me, President, I missed what the second committee was for.
To expedite codification. Facilitate the codification. Public comment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name's Jeff Edwards, and I wanted to make a request of your board relative to a third ad hoc committee. And I'll go into detail on that in just a second. But by way of background, I'm a 35-year resident of San Luis Obispo County, and I have 25 years' experience as a professional land planner in the coastal zone. And in recent months, I've been meeting with the Oceano Advisory Council in the context of a review of the airport. As all of you know, the airport is right in the middle of Oceano. It's about 59 acres of land, and it's my view that this property is substantially underutilized. And in that connection, what I'd like to do is ask your board to... I'm soliciting volunteers that would participate in this ad hoc committee that would include members of the Oceano Advisory Council, members of the public, and so forth. And I don't know if many of you may know, but 1907, the Ocean View Terrace was a subdivision map recorded basically right over the airport property. It envisioned a town center in this area, which coincidentally is right about here in the airport. So there's a long history to this property, and I think the future has enormous potential, not just to this district, but to the community at large.
Mr. Edwards, can I interrupt you a minute?
Sure.
Is this something, Alex?
Well, it's this is not a committee of the board, and generally ad hoc committees that you talk about are committees of the board. So I'm not sure I'd say it's quite out of order, but I don't think you can really act on it tonight. What you might consider doing is if...
That the concept would include meetings for 6 months, from March through August, two meetings a month, so there'd be 12 meetings, and then some recommendations would come out of that. And again, it'd be members of this district, perhaps Raphael as your GM, and maybe one other board member as a possibility, and they would join some members from the OAC and some members from the general public, again, to meet and come up with some recommendations about the future of this property. So that's the request. Again, I think there the potential here, well, the potential in Oceano alone is huge. I've heard the phrase diamond in the rough, and I would have to agree with that. This property, I think, is also representative of the potential for the community. And this district, not only does the airport lie in the district's boundaries, but this district, as you know, provides water and sewer service, as well as parks and recreation, et cetera. There is probably no community on the coast in this county that has quite the resources that Oceano does. And I think that gives Oceano a competitive advantage for the future, however yet unrealized. And so, again, my request would be that perhaps the GM could join another board member or at your discretion, and then come back on the 10th of February to confirm the individuals.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Certainly available for questions if anybody has any.
Anybody want to join in on that project?
I have a question. Who do you represent and who do you work for? And
I work for myself. I'm an individual. My firm is a planning firm, and
okay.
We do development. And last year. Really, in the context, I don't know, you may be familiar with the 2050 vision for the county. Where are we going to grow? How are we going to grow? And this property was brought to my attention as having enormous potential, and upon closer inspection, I had to agree. And that's why I've been meeting with the OAC for the last, I think the first meeting was in September. I've met with them on three or four occasions. And there are individuals from the OAC that want to participate in this subcommittee. And there are members from the general public that have already stepped forward and want to participate. So really, members from this district are kind of the last components to form the committee. And again, we'd start in March and meet two times a month for 6 months. So
what you're looking at as a land planner is to close the airport and improve that area with a development of a kind.
Of some sort, correct. And that really is the purpose behind the scoping committee. This plan that you see here is a conceptual plan that includes some possible uses, but this is just one idea. And it would be up to the ad hoc committee to really look at all the possible options, not all, but many of the viable options for the airport site, and then draw some conclusions and make some recommendations. So that's what the concept is. And it would be truly an ad hoc committee. It's not going to last forever. We'd wrap it up in August and move forward. So any other thoughts or questions?
Anybody interested?
Fruition.
Thank you.
OSC seems to have lots of ad hoc committees.
Larry Bross, I've been sitting here for 3 hours, and so far all we have been discussing has been procedure. This is the first discussion of substance I've heard. Somebody has a plan that might do some stimulating of our community. Highway 1 is like dead area, and of course this plan was back in the 1900s. What's happened now is that Pier Avenue, because of this airport, can Nobody can build anything there. Aside of that, you have 58 acres here that this gentleman's talking about. This is substance. But this organization only wants to waste its time on procedure.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. I'm also from Los Osos. I'm here for backup for Mr. Edwards. I served on the Los Osos Community Services District Board from 2004 to 2008, and let me tell you, I see a lot of parallels with our communities. But one thing that a bright side of my service on the board, I was appointed to an ad hoc committee that was put together by the city of Morro Bay with regard to the possible closure of the Morro Bay power plant. And you might remember that when the power plant changed hands, there was some discussion of whether... This is Jack Edwards. Yes. There was some discussion of whether the plant would close, be redeveloped into something else, or to redevelop as another plant. So this committee that came together sort of analyzed the pros and cons for the community and brought its ideas, and there were some special interests that only wanted it to be one thing, while others wanted it to be many things, and some wanted a preserve, some wanted a big conference center. There was a lot of discussion, and about a year of committee work went into it, and it was, like I said, a highlight in my career as a director. And the committee did come back and give the city of Morro Bay some ideas and recommendations and some pros and cons, and I think whoever steps forward on your board would enjoy the experience that Mr. Edwards is suggesting. Thanks a lot.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. Why would you be a part of an ad hoc committee for a developer? Thank you.
Rick Cercioceano, thank you for this opportunity. I'll try to be brief and address the item at hand. Your item 7D, is that correct, Mr. President?
Correct.
And you stated that you wanted to create two ad hoc committees to...
I'm asking for input.
To facilitate these ad hoc committees. It's the same old stuff. And, you know, you say you want to be cohesive with the board, but yet when you go to choose sides, you want to continue to pit the two board members against each other. I don't understand it. But what I would suggest, and this is only a suggestion, you know, and my opportunity to speak at public comment here, because I have to leave. These meetings just go on too long for me. But the board might consider creating a committee to remove Vern Dahl as president, because it's obvious to me that he has not the leadership that it takes to run this district. And I think all of you need to discuss that and see the actual leadership that this man is taking this district down the road. And I have a public document here stamped by the Oceano Community Service District January 22nd. And it's a response directly at the general manager. And it's saying that you, Vern Dahl, would sign this. You want these answers of internal workings of the general manager. And I can go down them, and I'll hit them briefly. But, you know, you want to know the reason for installing locks on doors. You know? You want to know, you know, when, you know, the board reaches, it says, how does the district board of members reach you when you get out of step or when you step out of the office? I mean... you know, that to me, that's micromanaging. And it's in your own handwriting, Vern. And, you know, you say you're in touch with the public and you know your position as a board member and you're here to set policy. And in the same breath, you've got two pages here of questions, and it doesn't say that the board wants to know. It says, I want to know. Vern Dahl.
Yes.
You know, and you're directing this at general manager. You're expending now district energy because you can't figure it out. Basic, you want to know how a gal got hired in the office. Was that your job to hire somebody in the office? I don't think so.
No, it's not my job to hire.
But I would suggest, and this is a suggestion, that the board can really consider of removing Vern Dahl as president and getting some leadership up here that can take this district forward. Thank you.
I'd just like to go on the record that I did not vote for Director Dahl as president. Can we go back to, are we still in public comment?
We're still in public comment.
My name is Dave Angelo from Oceano. I just want to give you some background on the airport many years ago. The point is the county will resist you all the way on closing that airport. And they made it quite plain to us when we managed it to just forget about it. That airport was a cash cow from the FAA, and they got all kinds of money from the FAA, and they didn't have to spend it at Oceano, and they didn't. They spent it in San Luis. And those are just facts that I know, that I think you guys should know. And you know, like I said, I don't want to be on the record now saying I'm for the airport or against the airport. You know, that's not what I'm here to tell you. What I'm here to tell you is the county ain't going to let you close that thing. I don't care. You know, we've been through it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comment?
Carol Henson. I would like to speak to the other person that got up here regarding this letter that was given to the general manager. And I want to speak back to your October 2008 campaign letter.
This is on the ad hoc committees.
Yeah.
So we can hear that, but we're going to have to do it in the second public comment that we have.
All right, I'm sorry.
If you want to address that item, but this is ad hoc right now. Thank you. Okay, any other public comment on the ad hoc? Okay. So the reasoning that I chose people that I wanted to choose to put on there was basically I thought the ad hoc would be a better working group for the people that are getting along better. It's, you know, I'm not going to, although I could just appoint him and go, I don't want to do that without the board feeling comfortable with it. So how do you feel?
I think this is a ridiculous idea. We've already got a water and sewer committee, has the same people on it. We've already got a finance committee, it's got the same people on it. The stuff that you're talking about doing already falls within the jurisdiction of those committees. Use the committees that you've got. We don't need a zillion ad hoc committees where directors are getting paid $50 a pop at your expense to do interminable discussions that lead to nothing. It just enriches the directors at the public expense.
Well, that's the $50 is true whether it's on ad hoc or whether it's on subcommittee meeting.
I never approved to give any ad hoc committee member a penny.
Are you taking a list for speakers?
Sorry. Go ahead. Director Lucy.
No, I don't want to interrupt you, but
no, it's all right.
If you're not going to keep it a mental note, write it down.
That's okay.
If you think for a New York minute I'm going to put my name on supporting raising water rates in this town, you are sadly mistaken.
Okay.
And I find it quite insulting.
Thank
you.
Okay.
You put Dahl on 215. Don't put Lucy. And codification, I'm going to ask it publicly one more time. And the attorney can choose not to answer me or answer the people. But we want to know how much money has been spent on codification for this district.
I believe I've answered that at least twice before.
And they've been different answers, so I'm asking you for the current one.
I don't think that's correct. It's probably been at least a year since the last time I looked at it. I don't have the number in my head.
Guess.
But I will get the number for you tomorrow.
Could you guess for the people? Just give them a guesstimate.
On codification, I would guess it's probably upwards of $10,000.
Well, that is very, very different from what you've told in the past, and I'll pull those records.
I don't think that's correct.
That's fine. I asked for a guesstimate. I asked for a guesstimate.
You've put numbers out at past meetings, but I have never agreed with those numbers.
You know what? I asked for a guesstimate, and exactly what I got.
Okay. So that dies for lack of support. So moving on to item number 7E. Oh, I'm sorry. We still have the question of the of if anybody wants to volunteer for the to work with Edwards. It's something outside of the board. So if you do that, why don't you just talk to each board member individually and talk to them, see if they want to volunteer for that. Okay.
And Mr. Dahl, can you maybe inform Mr. Hill and I how best way to get a hold of the other board directors? Because I know that I put 5 calls into you. And then I came to the office, and the administrative assistant was kind enough to help me get a hold of you. So maybe you can fill Jim and I in, because we're certainly not in this loop.
Okay.
And all the phone numbers I have for you, Director Dean, all of them have been disconnected, have been turned off. So if you could please pass it on to some way that we can get a hold of you.
The cards in the district office are correct. So they are in the district office, they are adjusted, and they are correct.
Okay, thank you.
Same thing on the on mine. Same phone numbers.
Well, that's not the issue. I don't have a problem dialing your numbers. I have a problem with you answering your calls. If you're going to be the leader, you got to pick up the phone.
Well, I pick up everyone that I've noticed.
Well, you better check because I spoke to your domestic.
Anyway, we are going on to item number 7E, nomination of board from the board for LAFCO special district member.
Item number 7E, there was a form in your packet for consideration of nomination of a special district representative to LAFCO. This is as a result of our honorable past president, Barbara Mann, resigning. And there is a form, it's the second page, that I received from the LAFCO executive director, Mr. David Church. We spoke on the phone. I told him that I would present this opportunity to the board. If the board would like to nominate anyone, the form, I have the original.
Member for LAFCO, but Pamela is one who expressed interest in perhaps working with LAFCO in the past, and if Ed, who has quite a bit of experience with LAFCO, is appointed to that, then the position of special district alternate would remain open, and that might be a opportunity for Director Dean to get known or other person that might express interest, but I would support the nomination of Ed Eby from Napomo to be the special district representative to LAFCO.
Director Dean?
excuse me. I didn't express interest. I think you were thinking Mary. Mary expressed interest last time about being an alternate to LAFCO. And Mr. Eby sent us a very nice and very compelling email putting forth his past experience sitting on the board for the last 4 years. He hasn't missed a meeting and has sat on the board in place. And he reminds us that he works for all the special districts, not just for Nipomo. So I feel that I would like to put my support toward Mr. Eby. I really, I've met him, and he's a very fair-minded man, and he has the experience.
Director Lucy?
I'm fine with the director from Nipomo. Yeah. That's the experience.
He is, he's already nominated from Nipomo, so I think all we need to do is just support him, and I would support him as well. So I think that would be the pleasure of the board, is to support Mr. Eby on his nomination. He's already been nominated, so we don't need to nominate him again.
My only question is, do we want to fill out the form and put his name so that it comes from the board, or do you just want me to pick up the phone tomorrow and tell Mr. Church that the board supports him?
Let me move that we fill out the form, nominate Mr. Eby, and show our support.
I'll take care of it. I'll fill out the form first thing in the morning. I'll fax it to Mr. Church, and we'll be in good shape.
Okay. Anybody have a problem with that? Okay, then that's the way it'll be.
Do you want to handle that, or do you want to vote on it, or do you want to just handle it that way?
I think it's just fine. I mean, we have consensus that that the board will support him.
Yeah, I had a question. I thought we were to nominate someone from our own district. Is that what the nomination was about or not?
No.
We can support Mr. Eby by doing that. Yeah. Then I'm all for that.
Yeah. And I don't think the nomination doesn't have to be somebody at our own district. We can nominate someone from another district.
My understanding is that happened before Barbara resigned and he took the seat like that quick. It was already.
He's the alternate.
It was already decided.
Well, he has to be elected still, is what I understand, and that happens in November.
But I thought that had come to this board already, supporting him.
Mm-hmm. No, it got tabled last time. I think when it came to the board, we didn't discuss it last time. I'd like to have our general manager keep track of it so that he knows what they talk about and so that everybody's clued in as to what the discussion is, so that we have transparency of what the discussion is if it's about district business. So that was what I wanted to actually have happen. A lot of times, someone goes in, something gets asked, it isn't always transmitted to the rest of us. It may not take a log, but maybe that would be a mind juggler or something, so that it can be put in our Friday report. So that anybody goes in, we all have knowledge of what the request is or what's being talked about. So that was my idea.
Okay, any public comment on this item?
Thank you, Karen White, Halcyon. This is kind of why I came tonight. I understand what you're trying to do, but from the view from the audience, my view, this will be another vehicle. I think it's for petty bickering. I think it's really childish, immature, and so petty, and it's just going to come up with he talked to the teacher more than I talked to the teacher, and I didn't bother the man, so I get a gold star. You people have enough issues now without adding one more to it. And I wish that every time you wanted to talk to the manager, two of you would go. Maybe two of you from opposite ends or from opposite corners. It's becoming really cornered, not even just sides now. And I just think it's just another wrong corner to take. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment?
I just want to say that I agree with Karen White from Halcyon. I think that would be a really divisive thing. And believe me, after the audit and all of the things that Raphael has to work on to bring the department up to snuff, to expect him to stop and keep an audit daily, or a log of when someone comes into him, whether it's for 2 seconds or 10 minutes. I think it would be a very divisive thing. And I think any director that goes and talks to the general manager should have every expectation of confidentiality. And I just don't see how that can move forward. I think Raphael has plenty to do. And it's not just a tractor feed. Old computer, dinosaur.
Nina Grabiel, Oceano. I'd like to ask anybody here in the room to take out a piece of paper and a pencil, and also the viewing audience, and take down my phone number. It's 481-3394. I'll repeat that again. It's 481-3394. And I am going to, I'm soliciting input from the public as to a recall for Verndahl. Play games with me. You recognize my voice. You didn't want to hear what I have to say. But you know what? That was your loss, because I was going to give you some information that would have been helpful to you. But you want to play these games. Same thing with Dean. You want to play games. You're saying it. We've been replacing general managers every 9 months. That's a lie. Don't sit there and lie. Over 10 years, that would mean we have over 11 managers. That's not true. Stop manipulating things. Stop distorting things. Just to try to bring your point over. Just tell the truth.
I'd like to speak to that.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're supposed to comment.
I'd like to speak to that.
You can have a brief response.
Oh, that's a
game player. You know, yeah, you just change the rules whenever you want to. That's part of the game.
Alex, can you explain the response to public comment and how it works?
Well, the public comment didn't speak to the item on the issue on the agenda, so it was out of order in the first place. It is proper to have a brief response, but it is clear that there should not be an ongoing engagement and a give and take in responding to public comment on items that are not agendized. I've worked at several public agencies, and regardless whatever problems this public agency has, that rule is often honored more in the breach than it is in the observance, but that's the rule.
Okay, thank you. Director Dean.
I will save my comments till the next meeting, and I will speak truth about this, because the members of the public are accusing me of things that are untrue.
Okay, any other public comment on this item? Okay, bring it back to the board. Any comments here?
Yes, I have some. This is, I'll be as charitable as I can. I think this is an ill-advised it may have had a noble intent, but it's an ill-advised recommendation. This particular week, if you had read the general manager's log, you would have seen this material that Director Dahl signed and gave it to Raphael. What was the reason for installing the locks on the two doors in the front office? What is kept behind those doors that needs to be locked up? Can those items be kept in a locked file cabinet? If not, why not? Give me a complete list of who has access to those offices, who does not, and why they do or do not have access. Is the safe behind these doors? Notice the interest again on the safe. Is the safe heavy enough or anchored so that no one can just carry it off? Give me a... carry off the safe. We used to keep the cash in a file drawer in the office where you could just pick up the cash, not even have the impediment of the safe. Give me a complete list of who has access to the safe. You know, when I see this sort of nonsense about with the safe, oh, there's a safe, now the money's in a safe. You know what kind of vision comes to my mind? It's like Rick went over that, is the mail getting stamped. Something about claims. Then, again, totally out of line personnel stuff. And you'd also find on the general manager's log that the president went in now and told the president, first of all, where the employees were going to sit. That's certainly out of line. He told the general manager that the general manager was in over his head. Well, I have news for you, Vern. The general manager is way, way over your head. Shame on you, Vern.
Oh, get off of it. Go ahead, Director.
I just need a point of clarification. Pamela, did you say that you had brought this in to the GM?
I asked for it to be put on the agenda.
Yeah, and you Friday. Signed it, Vern Dahl, too?
What do you mean?
That's not the subject.
About? I'm talking about the
institution of general manager log.
Yes.
That's what I put on the agenda.
Oh, so this is these pages of,
I don't even call it
micromanages. This is nano managing. Nano. That's smaller than a micro. So this is part of your request for more
They have nothing to do with each other. This is just something that was a way to bring this out.
Okay, so where's yours, Pamela, then? I'm sorry.
It's the only thing on the agenda here. It speaks to what's on the agenda.
Institution of General Manager log?
Yeah.
But
right.
This isn't part of the log.
May I respectfully suggest that there's no support for this item?
Stupid me. I'm sorry.
She has the floor right now.
We're already up to a Friday report, a general manager log, and then we got this report. I'm sorry for not keeping up. Okay, three reports. All right.
I think where this has stemmed from is we've had directors go in and try to coerce general managers in the past to try to fire employees, and this is where I think this is coming from, or tilt their impression of the front office, and this is where this is coming from. But I don't see that there's support for it, so.
Believe me, Vern, I have no interest in what you discuss with the general manager.
Yeah. Well, when we've got directors going in
So where is this on the agenda, Vern? Yeah,
that is not on the agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, then let's move on.
Okay. But I do am going to take a little bit of time to respond to these accusations of micromanaging. So
these are nano.
Okay.
We have a 5-minute break for comic relief.
If you hurt my eardrum. Well, then don't be
civil. Please be civil.
You need to be civil with that sharp hammer there in your hand.
Then don't talk out of turn.
I'll be a good girl.
Good. Thank you. These are, okay. And so, yeah, I'm concerned whether that safe can be hauled out of here by somebody. And if it can or if it can't, do we have to have a policy that the safe has to be anchored or something? You know, we make policies, all right? It's a legitimate concern. If we've got locked doors, okay, and we've got confidential employees that are kept out of those locked doors, and we've got non-confidential employees behind locked doors, it raises a question in my mind. So I want to know why. And if I know why and I can understand why, that makes sense. I got no problem with it. I just want to know. It's just questions. There's no management here at all. It's questions. How do you manage when all you're doing is asking questions? It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so anyway, that's my response to that.
I have to agree with you, Vern. It is completely ridiculous. Okay. And I'm stunned that you had no problem with the cash being just standing right out on the...
We're done with this issue. This issue, we're moving on. We're on to item number 7G now. Sorry. The ears. Okay. 7G, resolution of appreciation to Barbara Mann for her long service to the communities of Oceano and Halcyon. Director,
gentlemen. Like the penalty. background on it.
In regard to Resolution 7G, I have absolutely, I repeat, absolutely no problem. I think it's a great idea. Barbara served our district for a long time. And the board, you know, if it would have been my recommendation, I would have recommended some type of, you know, plaque or a souvenir or something, you know, regarding this to the length of service and the positions held. But I'm not going to speak on the issue because this, too, was put on Friday on the agenda after I left. So that concludes my report.
Okay.
May I speak to this, Mr. President?
Yeah, let me go to public comment first, though. Okay. Public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. Director Hill?
I agree with the general manager. I want to issue a resolution of appreciation to former board member Mann for her long service to the communities of Oceano and Halcyon. I believe that a plaque would be appropriate, and I think we should do that. I also know that we have a longstanding district employee, Cindy Winter, who was here for more than 25 years, and I'd also like to include in this resolution a word of appreciation for Cindy Winter and that she also be given such a resolution and a plaque for her long and faithful service to the communities.
I'll second that.
Okay. All right, I think we have an Director Mann, our Director Dean, would you like to speak to this?
I think the plaque for service is or the resolution is really a good idea. Usually we frame the resolution so that it that somebody can hang it on the wall. And I think Cindy Winters, for her long, many 30 years, more than 30, has it been more than 30 years that she served? Please.
I'll do whatever is the president's pleasure, but I thought that after the administration items.
This was an emergency one that has to be done, right. So I figured I'd go ahead and add
fine.
It
in. It's the basic subject, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines, the public contract code, it's reference 22050C1, requires that if the governing body orders, et cetera, we've all read it before, I would recommend approval, and it's a necessary service.
Okay. Any public comment on this item? Okay. Bring it back to the board.
I move that we continue the emergency declaring the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water line.
Second.
Okay. Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, maybe we might want to do the warrants as well. Do we have warrants? Yeah, do the warrants as well. So item number 13.
Item number 13, we would ask the board to consider the warrants in front of you. I'm pleased to say that the warrant numbers and the check numbers are in harmony, for lack of a better term. The vouchers, the bills, and necessary paperwork are up here between Director Dean and Gina, if someone would like to look at them. And the checks have been placed for the board's benefit in the same chronological order as the documentation. And the sequence numbers even match. And I would recommend approval. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any public comment on the warrants? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Any questions, comments, direction?
I do have a comment. I note that we're paying over $6,500 for maintenance of our, which is characterized as a dinosaur computer system. But three bills like that, and you got a brand new system. I do also want to commend the general manager for bringing the check number thing under control. That's a tremendous advance forward in our accounting. And it's just stunning to me that we had to put up with this system for as long as we did. With that, I made a comment at the last meeting, something about witch doctors or something going on the computer maintenance, and I want to apologize for the comment of witch doctor. It was misunderstood that with our dinosaur computer system that I thought it might take a witch doctor to maintain it, but it actually takes a very competent computer technologist. But nonetheless, the bill is what it is, and I recommend and move that we approve the warrants as presented.
Helping us keep the system together, she has also been helping train, like, for example, I have to give credit where credit's due, and the last time it would have been extremely difficult for us to get the utility billing out without Sharon's help. So the bill is, you know, a combination of two things, and the bill is actually another reason why the system needs to go. One, the bill is for the services she provides us and the programs that she writes. Two, the bill is she's doing an excellent job of showing our person, Carol Ann, that's working on the utility billing on the accounts receivable as to how to get that dinosaur to perform so that the bills get out. So that's why this time the bill is larger than it was last time. Mm-hmm. And there's one other piece. There's information that we're trying to get to Tuckfield for the rate increases and, you know, stuff that has to be, and the same thing. It's extremely, unless you're familiar with the system, difficult to take that information in the format in which it generates it and turn it into how Tuckfield wants it, which is like an Excel spreadsheet. So she has also helped our normal computer technician, Mr. Ivan, who, you know, deals in 2,000-year equipment, extract that information from the AS400 and help Ivan put it together on a computer so we can send it in Excel form to Tuckfield for the rate services. So it's like, you know, it was three things instead of just one. It wasn't just computer repair, it was computer repair. It's computer training to get the utility billing out, and it's computer, I don't know the correct term, but basically you take the system and you make it work in a different format so that you can send it to people that can use that data. Otherwise, if you send it in that form, people can't access the data. I hope that answers some of your questions.
That did. Thank you, General Manager. My question, I thought that we had given Mr. Tuckfield the spreadsheet. So he didn't get it 2 months ago when we...
He got some, but he didn't get it all.
Does he have it all now?
No, he's waiting for this next run that will come out next week to extract the final documents that he needs.
Will everybody know how to produce that document in the Excel spreadsheet he needs then without Sharon's help?
No.
No.
Sharon will do the download. Ivan will convert it to Access. And from Access, it can go to Excel.
It takes three people.
Yeah.
Note to all you high-tech people out there, I know this is way over your head. We're talking about an Excel spreadsheet here. I'm sure you've never seen anything like it, or you couldn't possibly understand what that is. It's so highly technical that it's obviously way over your heads. And we've only spent probably a couple grand to come up with an Excel spreadsheet. Well, if you give me a piece of...
So
before going to closed session, unless you want to do it in about 6 minutes... You probably need a motion to extend.
Okay. Entertain a motion to extend the meeting past 10 o'clock.
Motion to extend to 10:15.
Have a motion and a second?
Second,
okay. Motion to extend to 10:15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 4-0.
Would you announce the topics of the closed session, please?
Yes, that will happen now.
Yeah, the announcement, this is item 12 on the agenda. It's a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 549569B to meet and confer with district's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, and the case involved is the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, Santa Clara County lead case number CV770217.
That's the only issue?
That's the only issue.
Thank you.
Coming back from closed session, this is the closed session report.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, with regard to item 12, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B, to meet with district's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, the matter at hand being the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, Santa Clara County lead case number CV770217. The board met in closed session, received and discussed a report. No action was taken.
Okay, thank you. So at this point, what's the pleasure of the board? Do you want to put the rest of this off to the next meeting? Do you want to extend? What's the pleasure of the board?
I think that there's nothing that's pressing. We can delay it to the next meeting.
Okay. Is this item 9B pressing, Gina?
Current tracks.
It would be nice. It's a real short project. What happened is they purchased the property, and the new owners, Mid-State Properties, was faced with violations from a previous owner.
Okay.
They're correcting those violations.
Okay.
No change in usage.
Is that okay to everybody? Okay with doing that one? Okay, then I'll move. I'll entertain a motion to extend time.
I move we extend the time till 10:30.
Okay. Motion to have a second.
Second. Aye.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. 4-0. Okay, we extended.
The staff report.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I move that we approve the staff report.
Okay. We have a motion on the board to approve the staff report.
Second.